This is Transporters. Or, it's all fun and games until someone sets your DNA to shuffle. A Stargate Atlantis fanfic written by Wonky Elk and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Rodney McKay, John Shepard, with additional tags for fluff and humor, Discord server birthday, feelings realization, established relationship, POV alternating. Author's notes. In response to a prompt by Anonymous in the SGA Fan Art Only Server Birthday Bash collection. Prompt. Two times the transporters failed. First incident. Elizabeth had been a little dazzled by the transporter technology at the start. It was difficult not to be. But there was so much to do and to think about that they had quickly been downgraded in her consciousness to little more than remarkably efficient elevators. Constantly tripping over her own childlike wonder would hardly have been conducive to a strong and effective leadership. Nowadays, the only time that they really registered as anything out of the ordinary was when they went wrong. Such as when, for example, she pressed the button to take her to her living quarters and became suddenly much taller. It only took a few moments of disorientation and assessment of the situation before she realized that she was also quite a lot more Ronin-y than she had been a moment ago. From the flurry of alarmed messages which began to come in, this was apparently not an isolated incident. It was somewhat surreal to be in a room where almost everyone wore your face. Ronan found that he didn't much like what some of them were doing with it. He hadn't been aware that he could even look that distressingly goofy and uncool. At least McKay hadn't been in the transporter when the incident happened. Unfortunately, Shepard had, which meant that Ronan was treated to the dubious pleasure of watching himself making unsubtle heart eyes at McKay and leaning towards him like a sun-starved flower. Honestly, he just wished those two would work things out already. Though he'd prefer if Shepard didn't do any of that particular sort of working out while still wearing Ronan like an ill-fitting suit. Okay, so from what we can determine, the transporters have somehow determined that Ronan's physical pattern is now the default mode, and they're resetting everyone who uses them to his exact appearance. Fortunately, they're keeping everyone's mental template the same, so that no one has so far had their consciousness overridden by a duplicate Ronan. Not that that wouldn't be an improvement for some of you. This last was just barely muttered aloud as a throwaway thought, but Ronan felt surprised. And more pleased than he would have expected, at this confirmation that McKay actually liked him. They had only been teammates for a few months, and there had been a lot of tension and a distinct clashing of personalities while they tried to get to grips with each other. McKay was infuriating in many respects, and it hadn't taken long to see how much of him was formed of wavering strips of insecurity, braced around an ego which was a lot more fragile than he'd like anyone to guess. Still, he was also loyal, far braver than Ronan had initially assumed, and nearly as smart as he thought he was. In things relating to technology, at least. In certain other areas, Ronan sometimes felt like writing him a textbook, with helpful hints. On balance, Ronan figured they were friends. And that, he was pretty happy with that. So is it possible to reset everyone safely? Elizabeth seemed to have adapted to being Ronan well enough, and Tayla had taken it so in stride that she looked almost more Ronan than Ronan did. He was kind of hoping that he'd get a little sparring in with her before they fix this up. There was something poetic about the idea of fighting yourself. Rodney nodded at Elizabeth. Yes. I mean, the basics are straightforward enough. Though there are a few things I need to work out to make sure that nobody retains any bits of stray Ronin. Ronan decided that it was in the best interests of his own mental health that he tune out of the conversation at this point. It took several hours before Rodney announced that he was absolutely confident that he could fully de-Ronin everyone. And then another 7 hours to catch the two people who had decided they really wanted to keep their funky new body, actually, and resisted all attempts to restore them to normal. When it was finally all over, Elizabeth was hugely relieved. It had been uncomfortable enough feeling like a guest in her own skin, without the disconcerting vision of a vast sea of Ronins, most of them acting in such distractingly un-Ronin-like ways that it felt like reality had just given up on them all and swanned off for a vacation in the Bahamas. She had been very impressed with how well Ronin himself had taken the whole thing. If it had been her own form, spilling all over the place with an alien mind in each of her bodies, then it would have been a lot harder to retain a firm grip on her self-control and detachment. Being Ronin for a while had been strain enough. Elizabeth booked in her appointment with Heitmeyer, who was going to be swamped for the next few weeks, and went for a nice, relaxing walk to get used to her own body again. She really hadn't meant to eavesdrop on the couple in the balcony across from hers, but was so lost in savoring the pleasure of breathing in this sweet, fresh air with the lungs she felt entitled to, that she had absorbed much of the conversation without even realizing. Realized when I saw you in Ronan's body that it wasn't just that I was attracted to you physically, which, frankly, happens a lot. I'm very horny for many, many people. But that I loved you, specifically. Whether you looked like normal you, or like Ronin, or Taylor, or anyone I could think of. What if I looked like Zelda from Terrahawks? Seriously? I just made a declaration of my... And you... Fine. I can't say I would be exactly thrilled about it, but yes, I would still love you if you were Zelda from Terrahawks. Though we'd be getting you some heavy-duty moisturizer. There was a low laugh of mingled amusement and wonder, and the distinctive sound of a kiss. At which point, Elizabeth fully came back to herself and realized that she absolutely should not be listening to this. Somehow, though, she couldn't make herself move until the rather lengthy kiss had ended, and her CSO and military commander had melted away into the evening. Hopefully to find somewhere a whole lot more private. Elizabeth looked out over the ocean with a slight, passing ache for the space beside her, which she wasn't sure if she would ever be able to fill. Nor if she actually wanted to, now that the city was her life. And then let herself just be purely happy for them. She breathed in the salt and the air of an alien planet, and felt a sudden joy to be the person she was, in the place she was right now. On reflection, that felt like more than enough. Second incident. Rodney hated being disturbed in the middle of the night. He especially hated being disturbed in the middle of some intensive nocturnal communication with John Shepherd, conducted through the medium of the horizontal boogie. Rodney answered the radio breathless, frustrated, and rather more covered in Shepherd than was strictly appropriate for a serious working conversation. Though, in his defense, the late-night calls he had been getting recently had been less of the life-and-death sort than the take-two scans and call-me-in-the-morning type. Stubbins, if this is about the slight energy fluctuation which exists only in your imagination, then I swear I'm going to— But then Zelenka took over the comm, and Rodney immediately started worrying. Rodney, it's the transporters again. We think— Radek made a weird intake of breath, as though he couldn't quite believe what he was saying. We think they are eating people. John had the knack of dressing very quickly, and the advantage of hair, which always looked, to some extent, as though it had been up to something rather indecent. So he had been ready to help shove Rodney into a shirt, and then take a few cunning ducks and weaves down corridors, so he could arrive at the errant transporter from a completely different direction to Rodney, just as someone who totally hadn't been banging his brains out would do. Although, when he arrived, John had the sense that he could have got there stark bollock naked, or wearing nothing but Rodney's favorite t-shirt and a hickey, and nobody would even have noticed. Hungry transporters were something of an attention grabber. Refuse to believe that they're eating people! I know, Rodney, but all of the data indicates that the pattern is— Heard that the one on level 4 made growling noises and gave a really gigantic burp afterwards. Stubbins, if you have nothing better to contribute to the conversation than secondhand flatulence, then I suggest you stay out of it. While Rodney was sorting the genuine data from the apocryphal, with his cutest exasperated expression and his fluffiest John Must hair, John himself tried to get a more accurate picture of the facts. As far as he could gather, so far, 5 people had gone into the transporters and hadn't come out again. There was no record of their data trapped within the transporter system itself, waiting to be rematerialized. Only a resounding nothing. John grimly noted down the names. 4 of his Marines and 1 scientist. Checked that all possible precautions had been made to prevent anyone else from wandering into a transporter and being wantonly gobbled up before this was all fixed, and then settled in to watch Rodney work. Despite the less-than-happy circumstances, John couldn't help but enjoy the sight of Rodney in problem-solving mode. All focused energy, rapid speech, and that indefinable air of him being absolutely in his element. Not been consuming anyone, just sending them somewhere else. Somewhere way out of the system. But if we just— Yes, you are right. But we'll also need to— Right, good point. We don't want a merge situation. 4 limbs is sufficient for anyone. Much though John enjoyed Rodney in this mode, he couldn't help a slight twinge of jealousy whenever he did his near-telepathic connection thing with Zelenka. Which wasn't why he interrupted, of course. That was purely out of a normal, military leader-worthy need to keep on top of the situation. So, do you think you can fix this? Rodney waved impatiently at him. Of course I can fix this. It's only a mere scale 3 impossibility. It takes a scale 10 or more to even slow me down. The original glitch itself is fixed already. We just need to make sure that nobody comes back as an amorphous blob of mixed up body parts, Zelenka added helpfully. I was just going to say wrong, but that is a fairly accurate depiction of what we were trying to avoid. John tried hard not to have any mental images, and failed. Yeah, I'd say definitely try not to blob anyone. It's a general life goal. Rodney didn't smile at John, exactly, but there was a certain confidence about him which set John's mind at ease on the amorphous blob front. He relaxed a little. And maybe they'd even retrieve everyone in time for a quick but satisfying resumption of their private conversation before breakfast. It turned out that the transporters had sent three of their people to a tropical paradise planet, from which they were mildly disgruntled to be returned. One of them to a galaxy far, far away. Ronnie didn't really believe that they had seen Wookiees, but he couldn't help feeling a twinge of envy anyway. And one of them to a place which they stubbornly refused to describe, except to say that it absolutely wasn't Narnia, and they weren't taking any further questions. It took even longer than last time before the transporters were deemed fully trustworthy again. But, given that, one, the city was far too large to get anywhere on foot, and two, even if the glitch recurred, there were pretty decent odds of getting a tropical vacation. Most people eventually shrugged and took the chance. Still, Rodney made sure to put a whole new set of checks into the system to prevent anything like that happening again. He tried not to worry about the fact that, last time, Atlantis had appeared to take his safety measures as a challenge. Hey, Rodney. Working kind of late again, aren't you? I think maybe that making sure we're not catapulting our people freely across the universe is a job worth doing properly, Shepard. Which is precisely why you need to make sure you have enough sleep. Rodney found himself being propelled out of the labs with a gentle insistence. John's loving hand on his arm somehow managing to be proprietary in all the right ways. Rodney felt suddenly and overwhelmingly married, and was so stunned by the sensation that he temporarily forgot every language he knew except JavaScript. Rodney, you okay? It took a moment before Rodney could banish doctypes and HTML and dredge up a plain, unbracketed English from the swampy corner of his mind to which it had fled. Yes, yes, just one of those moments when my overpowering love for you reaches out and punches me in the solar plexus. It happens from time to time. He gave an airy wave, so as not to alarm. John looked poleaxed for a moment, and then he smiled. As if Rodney had just offered him a whole fleet of jets, a string of glittering stars, the moon on a fine, sturdy stick, and the very best turkey sandwich ever, all topped off with a nice cold beer. Want to become an amorphous blob with me? Rodney grinned back and let John swiftly unwrap him like a present far too good to wait for. I think that could be arranged. The end. Reader's Notes. Thank you so much to Wonky Elk for having blanket permission to Podfic. This was recorded in my office on day 12 of a cold that is not ending. And so my voice is something special. Anyway... Yeah, this was a delight to read and a delight to play around with. I don't know if you could tell, but I was kind of trying to do the bit where Elizabeth is talking in Incident 1. I was trying to do, like, she is using Ronan's voice because she's got Ronan's body. But I don't know how well it came across. But that was the intention. Because I just think it's very funny to have any kind of body double situation like that where you've got hundreds of different, like, sort of vocal stylings, but they're all coming out with the very same tone. Very funny. Hilarious. So, yes. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.